What is up, Mentors Collective? If you are a business owner, especially if you're doing anything in the B2B world, you're going to want to pay attention, take out your notebooks. We're going to be having some fun. This is probably the only time you're going to see two doctors on a podcast talking about something not medical related at all. But we kind of both, you know, broke off to do our own thing and became experts in the marketing space and kind of paving our own way. And in this episode, I brought on a friend and fellow doctor, Connor Robertson, who runs an email marketing firm where they specialize in cold email and lead generation. And this, I asked him to come on the show just to preface because cold email has been transformative for my company, which is a PR firm. We do a lot of B2B. And I feel like a lot of companies miss this boat. And it is, if you can master this, you are going to have an ongoing source of leads cheaper than any other source. And you'll be able to get in touch with and land some of the biggest clients that you've ever imagined. So listen up, pay attention, take out your notebooks, and thank you. I want to welcome you, Dr. Connor Robertson, for joining me on the show. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited for this. This is going to be, I don't get to talk too much about cold email, but today's the day that we're going to get to do it. So I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Today's the day, and I like to consider myself somewhat savvy in this space, so hopefully we can go, we'll start, you know, at a very surface level, let everybody kind of know what's going on. If they're starting from scratch, but I'd love to dig deep as the episode goes on. And just to leave a cliffhanger here, if you listen to this whole episode, we're going to give you some secrets at the end. At least I'm going to give you some of my secrets that have landed us huge clients. And Connor, I'm going to scrape some out of your mind too.
Sure. Let's do it.
So just to preface, Connor, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your company. How did you become an expert in cold email?
Yeah, to make a long story short, so I grew up in Canada, moved to the U.S. to do the doctorate of chiropractic and practiced for a couple of years. And then I kind of learned a little bit about time leverage, right? My parents have always been entrepreneurs. They had a lot of employees. And I realized, yeah, hey, being a physician of some type is cool, right? But W-2 salary, right? Not very scalable, not very tax efficient, not very leveraged. And so I was like, all right, well, I did a bunch of stuff for my parents growing up, learned how to grow and market and do some of that. So why don't I just, you know, hang an expensive piece of paper on the wall and try to do something that's higher leverage. So the whole goal was be able to run a company from a computer anywhere on planet Earth, very Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week kind of style, where it was just like, I want to be able to move my job anywhere I go. And so the whole goal was we started with LinkedIn. LinkedIn, we took on about 400 clients in our LinkedIn service at the time, scaled that up. And then we realized, okay, well, how can we add to this? How can we make it better, right? So we added email in, really started mastering email. And then LinkedIn in April of last year, they started making some significant changes and reduced the volume on the platform. So then we started, instead of like 50-50 email LinkedIn, we started doing like 80-20, right? So 80% email, 20% LinkedIn, which brings us to today. And most of the people we work with today are B2B service-based providers that are trying to grow online, and they don't have either the budget for ads or, like you pointed out, want a cheaper lead source, right? It is a great, cheaper lead source than most other platforms, and it's actually pretty scalable.
100%. And we'll talk about how to kind of start from scratch and scale this up. But it is, you know, this is kind of the lead machine that I've built in my company that has, you know, brought us to where we are today. And I'm telling you right now, we would not have gotten off the ground if it were not for cold email. It's just the amount of money that you need to spend ads to make the equivalent amount of calls that you do in cold email is just absurd. So I urge every business owner listening to this, if you're B2B, even B2C, this is going to be transformative for your company if you master this stuff. So Connor, just to kind of start us off, let's talk at a very surface level. What is cold email? When you're referring to cold email marketing, what is that?
Yeah, so I think there's really two types of email that exist in the marketing space. There's cold email, and then there's opt-in, or what people would call warm email. So imagine you see an ad on Facebook, you click on that, you put in your email address, and then you start getting these drip sequences. That's your traditional opt-in or quote-unquote warm email. That's something that is usually long form, lots of text, maybe a couple images, but it's a sales scripting process that people are taking you through because you clicked on their ad. In the cold email world, it is very much so like you're at a trade show and you're going to meet 400 people. So you get a very short piece of content, maybe 3 or 4 sentences in that email, tell them who you are, what you do, and how you can help them. And then you're hoping that that person's going to be interested enough to reply back to you and say, hey, you know what? I think you might be able to help me. Let's get on the phone. And so they're just two totally different worlds. The goal of cold email is to set appointments with people who don't know who you are, and ultimately turn that into cash or revenue for your business.
Totally agree. And I love your definition of cold email. Really just giving them a business card, giving them a one-liner. Here's who I am. Here's how I can help you. Is this something you're interested in right now? And if you do the data, the prospecting, and the messaging correctly, you're usually going to be pretty on point there. So let's talk for a minute about who can actually benefit from this. If you're listening, maybe this will apply to you, but Connor, tell me a little bit about the types of clients that you've worked with and the industries that you've seen this work within.
Yeah. So on the cold email side in general, B2B service-based businesses that are higher ticket usually are the best. And so what we define as high ticket is typically a $5,000 lifetime value. I don't know what the experience is of everyone who's listening, but lifetime value is basically just the calculation of how much one customer is going to pay you in their lifetime, right? So most coaches, consultants, PR firms, high ticket marketing companies, they're all charging $5,000 or more. And that doesn't have to be $5,000 today. That could be $2,000 a month for 3 months, which would be $6,000 lifetime value. So high ticket, B2B, service-based. You did bring up an excellent point, which is you could do this if you're B2C. If you're running a biz op or business opportunity B2C, that could work as well. But the best returns, the tightest targeting in cold email is really for B2B service-based companies. Really works well in the US more than any other market because there's a lot of people here and there's a lot of data available. And then I think the last part to making cold email successful or making it work is you really got to pull in offer and audience. So cold email is a good source of people who are high ticket, B2B service-based with a good offer and they know who to sell the offer to. Who is it not good for? People that have only been referral-based their whole life and have no sales process. That person's going to struggle doing cold email no matter what because their problem isn't cold email. Their problem is they don't have a sales process to take someone who's interested and turn them into someone who's going to buy from them. So that's basically who's a good fit and who's not.
Right. I'd like to add and maybe ask SaaS companies, people who are selling software. I think I've seen them be successful with cold email as well. So just another category I'd like to throw in the bucket, but definitely agree to you with you. This is something that definitely requires some nurturing. It requires a sales team. It requires once that person replies, I'm interested, or clicks on a link, you need to have a very well-built process that takes them through your company, introducing who you are and your value proposition. Definitely.
Yeah, and it's important too. Like here's one thing you brought up SaaS, right? Let's look at lifetime value of SaaS. Most B2B SaaS solutions are like $99 to $200 a month, somewhere in that range, maybe a little cheaper, but people stay for what? 12, 24, 36 months. So you're right back there with the $5,000 lifetime value. And one caveat for all offers, they got to be profitable. If you're B2B and service-based, they got to be like that 40, 50% margin. If they're SaaS, because it's a little bit smaller number, they're probably like 70, 80, 90% margin. And so that's why the math makes sense long-term. So the take-home profit per year should be about $2,500 or more. That's basically where the math breaks down for SaaS. So yeah, it'll work.
And the cold email, you know, for a lot of people sounds too good to be true, right? I mean, sending emails is free. Setting up these sender accounts is basically free. It's negligible costs. And they think, you know, if they plug in the copy that you use on your email to their offer, it's going to automatically be successful. But you and I both know that's not the case. And we'll dive in a little bit to some of the psychology that people need to think about, that business owners need to think about when they're crafting their offer, when they're crafting the copy of their cold email. But it's really, it's more of an art than a science, right? It's not just follow a recipe. There's a lot involved and we'll dive into some examples, but the important thing to note here is your business is unique and this might not work for you. And we can probably make it work for you if you're creative enough. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a science in our, I think there is a recipe style format that people can go through in order to be, you know, successful. However, we just talked about offer, right? Offer has to be there. There has to be a good opportunity for people to buy your thing and they got to want your thing.
Right.
It doesn't matter how good the recipe is. If they don't want it, right? If you want to bake a cake and you have all the recipe to bake the cake and nobody wants the cake, well, doesn't really matter if you have all the components, right? So absolutely there's an art, there is a science to it. And I would kind of contest that there is actually probably more science to art in the fact that there are some very proven things that if you do, they will almost always work. There's always errors, but there will almost always work if you have a couple different things in there, which I'm sure we'll get to later in the show here.
Right. And we can kind of dive into that now, the recipe for success with cold email. And this is going to be for people who are, you know, maybe thinking about starting your cold email sequence for your first time. There's definitely certain things that you're going to need to do to check boxes on that list. You know, a lot of people don't even know where to start, right? So walk me through some of those things that people need to think about when they're starting to be interested in doing cold email. What are the stepwise processes? And we can talk about, you know, domain, sender accounts, warming.
Sure. So yeah, this is going to be a long one, but we'll condense it as much as we can. So basically when you cold email, there's a couple things you need to keep in mind. Number one, you got to have good data. You have to have good offer and copy. Copy is what you're writing in the email. And you have to have good sender reputation, or the accounts you're sending from have to have good reputation. So let's start with the sender part. You need to have domains that represent your brand. So if you're 123.com, you want to buy 123.com, .co, .ai, .io, all the top level domains. You never, ever, ever want to be emailing off your core domain, the domain that you use day to day, the domain that is your website. The reason you don't do that is if it ever gets flagged, now all your transactional email back and forth with your customer is going to be problematic. So I always recommend your .com is probably your main domain. Put that aside, use it for your website, use it for your day-to-day email, and all the other ones are going to be used for sending, basically. So you're going to want probably five different domains outside of your main domain, and you're going to probably want five inboxes or five unique sending accounts per domain. I wouldn't go too much above that. So let's say you got a .co, a .com, a .ai, a .io, and maybe some other extension that you want to have. You're going to take all those, probably buy them on GoDaddy.com. You can buy them on Porkbun, GoDaddy. You can buy them on a million other places, name cheap.
Yeah,
exactly. You can buy them anywhere. The reason I like GoDaddy is because we like to connect all of your domains to Zoho Mail. So a lot of people use Google Mail. They're familiar with Gmail and the Google Suite. Well, Google Suite is great, but it's super expensive. It's about $6 per inbox per month. So if you have 25 of these, you got a pretty big expense, 25 times six every month. That maybe that's not big, but it's big enough to try to save cost. So if you go to Zoho Mail, you can take that domain, you can point it to Zoho, and what you can do is you can have inboxes in Zoho Mail. So instead of paying $6 per month per inbox, you'd pay $1 per month per inbox. So that you get all the same functionality, but you're saving yourself sixfold, which for people like us that have 6,000 email accounts, it kind of matters, right? When you're paying that bill every single month. So we like to have a domain, five domains, five inboxes per domain, put them all into Zoho. And the part that most people forget is how to actually set up the security on a domain. So in GoDaddy, there's what's called the DNS zone. The DNS zone is where all the emails are pointed to, or the domain is pointed to. There's three things you need to set up: DMARC, DKIM, and SPF. They're basically little signatures that you put inside of the domain to say, this is a real domain. It's owned by a real person and a real company, and it's safe to send. The reason they have all these rules in place is to prevent like spammers from just spinning up a ton of domains and a ton of inboxes and just crushing email. So by putting in the DKIM, the DMARC, and the SPF records, GoDaddy says, well, you know what? This person put the effort in. They're probably not ready to spam someone. It's hard enough that they need to set that up. So you get the domains in GoDaddy, set up DKIM, DMARC, SPF. You point them all over to Zoho. You get five inboxes per domain, and then you slowly start ramping it up. So at this point, I mean, we have the domains, we have the inboxes, and we're going to ramp it up.
Yeah. And this is where it gets kind of technically scary. I remember looking at all these things my first time hearing about cold email. I'm like, what's a DKIM?
All
this stuff is available for you on YouTube. You have to go learn it once. And I'll link a video that's a good resource for learning how to set those things up. You learn once and then it's just plug and play each time you want to scale this up and do a new one. And it's definitely, worth it. And it's easier than any other it's easier than learning Facebook ads or learning the ins and outs of search ads. Take the time to learn this stuff, guys. It's going to result, 10x what any other form of advertising is going to do. I guarantee it.
And here's the thing too, we have a bunch of free videos on how to set all this stuff up. There's lots of stuff on YouTube, but if anyone wants it, you can reach out after the show or whatever. And I can send you guys exactly how we buy domains in GoDaddy, exactly how we set up DKIM, DMARC, and SPF, exactly how we point it to Zoho, and exactly how we use it. So, you know, there's lots of great videos out there. Find them on Google or on YouTube, sorry. But if you want to see our process, it's all free. It's all there. We have it all recorded. All the process is there. So if anyone wants it, it's all yours. No problem at all.
Thank you. Didn't know you did that. No, that's super helpful.
100%. Yeah.
All right. So where do we leave off? DKIM records. You've got sending accounts. We're ramping up.
Ramping up. This is exactly right. So there's going to be a bunch of different sending tools you can use, right? There's a bunch of different sending tools out there. Basically, what you do is you take all those Zoho accounts and you point them to these sending tools. The sending tool is basically where you upload your list of people you want to email, and you put the body of the email in there, and then you hit send, and some kind of automation will send them throughout the day. A bunch of different tools. I don't have any particular endorsement for any particular tool. They all work. It's just price. There's, you know, Lemlist, and there's Instantly, and there's, you know, Mailshake, and there's all these different tools that allow you to do this type of inbox rotation and sending. But the biggest thing that we need to kind of transition to talk about is warm up. So when you get a new domain, it has neutral reputation. This is like the new guy at school. It's not good, not bad. It's neutral reputation. Over the next 21 days on average, you need to warm up your domain so that people start seeing that as a good reputation. So your domain needs to increase its score so that the Google knows that you have good reputation. And so these tools will do that for you. It'll automate that warming. It'll automate the good reputation of your domain. And once your reputation's high enough, you can start sending. So you got to do that for typically 14 to 21 calendar days. If you don't do that because you want to go fast, you will lose. 100% of the time you will lose if you do not do warm up. So make sure you do it. We also have a video on how to do that. If anyone wants that, we can show you that, because that process is a little bit funky, but it can be automated, you know, in June of 2022, where we're at right now. So that's the warm up phase of email.
Yeah. And just kind of stopping there, I'm somebody who likes to be told what softwares to use, or at least know what you're using. And I'll give you my software stack as well. But what is your kind of preferred software stack for sending and warming?
Yeah, so it depends a little bit on volume, but our traditional software stack is buy from GoDaddy for the domains, point them all to Zoho, 5 domains, 25 inboxes, warm those up within Instantly.ai. We'll endorse them. They're a pretty new startup, but Instantly.ai, it has automated warming, automated sending, and has all the variables. So like you could pull first name or company name or website or whatever variables you have in your data, you can feed it into your emails real time so that they look a little bit more custom. There is also something in there called Spintax, which this is where like you can tell who knows what they're talking about with email versus people who don't really know what they're talking about with email if you talk about Spintax. So Spintax is the concept of spinning through different types of ways you can say something. So for example, you could start your email with hey or hello or hi or good morning or good afternoon. That's 5 variants. With Spintax in place, these tools will randomly cycle through those 5 variations on every single email. So one will say hey, one will say hi, one will say hello. And by doing that, that prevents you from going to spam, because what all the servers are looking for is the exact same templatized email. By spinning through those variables with that Spintax, you're able to land an inbox. So our tech stack, again, GoDaddy for domains, Zoho for inboxes, Instantly for sending and warming. And then we have a couple other tools that we use for getting data.
We'll talk about that
data
as well.
And manipulating that data as a whole. So getting data, we have two things. The datascraper.com that will scrape from LinkedIn, and it will also scrape from a bunch of other local directories. It's a $99 subscription and it's basically unlimited use. So it's very good value for volume. And then the other tool is getdirectdata.com. That's more LinkedIn and local business data. The big difference there is it has built-in cleaning solutions. So you don't have to have 2 different tools. You don't have to have a scraping tool and a cleaning tool. And at this point, people are probably going to say, well, what is cleaning? So turns out that not every email that you have is actually clean or valid. So someone might change their job at a company, or they got rid of that Yahoo account they haven't been using, or whatever it is. So what you do before you start sending emails, you download the whole list, you upload it to one of these cleaning tools, and it tells you if that email is real or not. to protect your domains and your ability to keep sending emails, you only want to send to quote unquote real email addresses. So you run it through the tool. It tells you clean or not clean. You delete all the not cleans. You take those, the ones that are clean, and you email those people. And so the cleaning tool that we use is Email List Verify. We've used a bunch of different tools over the last 6 months, but right now, today in June of 2020, it is probably the best, most accurate tool, emaillistverify.com. And that seems to be a good balance of speed and accuracy, which is kind of what you're looking for in a cleaning tool. So that's basically the tech stack that you need.
Okay, very good. I'll just go through mine just for reference. Not everyone's going to be the same. We use the Google. It is a lot more expensive. I think we've got about 50 accounts running right now. So if you do the math, man, what is that? $300 a month, $3,000. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot, but obviously it's worth it if it pays for itself, but you need to know that it's paying for itself. So the Zoho makes a lot of sense, especially if you're doing this for clients. In terms of sending, we actually recently just started transitioning to Instantly. So I'm curious, it Instantly supports Spintax. You put that right in there and it spins through the different variations for you. Boom, takeaway for me. So thank you for that. Other than that, we use Snovio, snove.io. That's a little bit newer of a tool as well. They support A/B testing. Obviously, Instantly is relatively new. We plan on them building out all of these additional features, such as like Zapier integrations and things like that. For warming, we use Instantly and also Mailwarm, which does fairly well. But honestly, I love Instantly. Instantly's warming feature is one of the most advanced I've seen, especially for such an early tool.
Yeah, dynamic warm up. The one thing that they are missing, which we could talk about that briefly, but the one thing they are missing is what's called a dynamic percentage warm up. So one thing that a lot of warm up tools don't do is they don't increase in a percentage. They increase linearly. So Instantly will increase by 2, 4, 8, 16. It'll do two more every day. What's actually better, which is something they're going to roll out here probably in the next couple months, is increasing by a percentage. Because normal human behavior in a business email is not, I send exactly two more emails tomorrow and exactly two more emails the next day. Right. It's you have this increase in volume, this kind of growth curve that happens as you scale up your email. So that's something that Instantly is rolling out. I can confidently tell you we are the largest customer that they have, and we have the most number of accounts there. So a lot of the R&D stuff comes to us first to test before it gets rolled out to everybody else. So I get to see some of the features. Like you said, Zapier got rolled out. Great feature that's coming. Some of the dynamic warm-up is coming. The unified inbox is coming. So you, instead of having, like you said, you got 50 domains or whatever, that's like 50 inboxes to manage, right? They are unifying the inbox so that you can look in one spot and see all your accounts, right? So there's some really cool features on the horizon, and they probably will become the number one cold email SaaS platform on planet Earth in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. They're doing incredible work. I'm also emailing with their founder, and they're so super engaged. They're listening. They're asking. I'm pumped to see what happens. So if you're just getting into cold email for your first time, highly recommend Instantly. Again, I don't get paid from this. I don't have an affiliate code to share with you, but definitely have a great experience.
We'll have to get you one.
Please get me one. I'll gladly promote for them. But then let's see. We talked about warming. Data is going to be a huge one for everybody. Data can be expensive. It can be tricky, especially if you're trying to figure out how to scrape different tools and what to scrape. We primarily use Apollo.io. It's a business database. We were grandfathered into a really affordable package, but it can be very expensive if you're just getting to use something like that now. But that basically gives us unlimited business data. But like you said, it's not always clean. It's not always up to date. So we also use Seamless.io, a relatively newer tool, also a B2B database. Where we extract, you know, we can hyper segment how many employees a company has, what industry they're in, what role that we're targeting, so that we can really hyper target that messaging and get exactly who we want. We also do use some Instagram data. I purchased a list of 7 million scraped Instagram accounts from a provider that is, I'm able to filter through it by category and words in their bio. So that's, it's become quite the asset. You know, if we want to target doctors, I just literally search their bio for doctor. And now I've got, you know, 500,000 doctors or whatever it is. So very cool there. But data is really just as good as how you use it. You need to figure out who you're targeting. Is the offer correct? What position you're targeting? make sure that data is clean, you warm it, and then you go to town. But yeah, that's pretty much our tech stack. Always learning. We've changed email sending platforms maybe 6 times. We used Woodpecker. We've used all kinds of stuff. Always trying to find the best tool.
Well, one good one for the big spenders out there, if you got 15 grand to throw down, Ocean is a great tool. So basically, Ocean is account-based marketing, which basically means, you're just basically marketing by the type of company that you want to go after. But the cool thing about Ocean, and I'll plug my boy over at Leadbird, Nick Abraham. He's a wizard at cold email. He put me onto this. But Ocean, you plug in a customer you've worked with, and Ocean will go find all the other people that are just like the people you work with dynamically. So they have an AI that will give you customers like your customers. And I'm sure we'll talk about copy shortly here, but I'm a big fan of trying to do case study style copy. So in your email, you would say something like, hey, we specialize in cold email. We help Syntax grow their company by 128% over the last 12 months, and they're just like you. So I think we could help you do the same. And so by having that account-based marketing and something like Ocean, you're able to reference similar customers to the people that you're going to email. And most of the time, those people actually recognize the names, the founders, the business names, the websites, wow, and the tech stack. And so if you have 15, large to throw down, that's expensive. For anybody who's super into that and wants to get into Ocean, Nick Abraham at Leadbird, you guys can look him up. He does have a team license or something like that where you guys can share it and work on it. That is compliant, by the way. They do have a shared resource there. So there's a group buy for that. If people are like, I definitely want that, that's a great solution as a whole. But like you said, there's always new tools, new sending tools, cleaning tools, whatever, and always test them all. Always be testing. ABT, right?
ABT. And if anyone wants to split that Ocean subscription, slide into my DMs, might be considering it. I'm going to look into that too. That is very interesting.
Yes.
But I'd love to transition, discuss copy briefly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, different philosophies out there. But the goal with the first email, right, is one, get opened, and get a reply or get them to take an action. So it's not like normal ad copy. It's not like website copy. It's a very specific type of copy that you're going to want to use in a cold email. So walk me through kind of your philosophy when developing that cold email copy.
Yeah. So we are very big fans of direct response. And so you mentioned this whole like philosophy, right? There's this run long form copy with there's lots of content, run short form copy, direct response, non-direct response, just get a yes, get a reply. Like everyone's got a different philosophy around it. I can confidently tell you that, and this isn't us just boasting about our skill, but we probably send more cold email than any other agency on planet Earth. Our top line has been 135,000 emails per day, okay, per day, net new people per day that we've scaled to. And all of our data is based on that massive sending. At peak, we had over 200 clients that we were doing this for, sending that kind of volume. The reason we stress tested that volume was because I wanted to learn what would take people a year to do in like a month. And so we took on a ton of clients on performance upfront, no money upfront to start when we first did this, just to get the data. And what I can confidently tell you today from our data is that if you're B2B service-based and high ticket, the subject line really, really matters and typically needs to be under 5 words, but it needs to be a good hook. It is better if you feed a variable in there, like a first name or a company name or something like that, which you can do with all these tools. And the best results that we see today is always reference a first name, always reference a company name if possible, and try to keep it around 3 sentences. Typically, the framework is this. Hey, we specialize in solving this kind of problem. Here's why we're different than everybody else. Can we jump on the phone? Or can you give me 15 minutes of your time? So it's this framework of here's what we do. Here's why we're different. Call to action. Most of the time with those 3 sentences in that order, it looks different for everyone's business and everyone's offer, but that framework seems to produce the best. So just a quick recap. Subject line under 5 words, feed the company name or the variable of the person you're emailing. In the body, 3 sentences. First sentence is who you are and what you do, the value prop or the differentiator is the second sentence, and then the call to action. You're always pulling in the name of the person and the company name. And the call to action is usually just to get a reply, which is, can we chat this week? Do you have 15 minutes where we can jump on the phone? Are you available? Are you interested? Something that's direct that you're going to get like a yes or no from that person so that you can get that reply, which will ultimately help your email deliverability.
Okay, very good. I like the framework. Definitely something I'll try and implement and test out. ABT.
Yeah, what's your framework? You can't leave me hanging. You gotta tell me what you're doing.
So right now, we've been big fans of First Line, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. It's usually subject line, question for name, or question about company, just like you had mentioned.
Yep.
And then, hey, first name, comma, First Line. And for those listening, a first line is a sentence that should and can apply only to the person that you're emailing. So there's actually software AI tools that do it now where you can upload a list and they'll spit out a whole bunch of first lines, usually be pulling from their LinkedIn data or their website data. Hey, I see you went to University of Florida, go Gators. Awesome. So if I see an email like that in the first sentence, I'm probably going to open it. I'm going to think that it's addressed to me and it's not a mass email. That's the philosophy. Granted, it's got its drawbacks too. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes it's pulling old data. Sometimes it says some weird stuff. So pros and cons there. We use a tool called Quicklines to do that. We've also used one, lynn.ai. So that's the first sentence. And then we go into value prop. So we're, you know, a PR firm, recently ranked top 10 in the US by X, Y, and Z. We segment it by category as well. So if we're talking to lawyers in that specific campaign, we'll include a case study to a lawyer. You know, we represent Mike Mandel, most followed lawyer on social media, recently featured in Cosmo and Forbes. And then would love to see if we can do the same for you. And then what we do differently than you, but we've tried it your way too, is we send them straight to a Calendly link. We don't try and get the reply anymore. We just link our Calendly right there and get like decrease all the friction to book a call. We've tried it both ways, getting kind of similar data. I don't think we get accurate data from the link clicks, but we see the calls getting booked. And that's one thing I'd love to talk to you about as well. Have you tried first lines versus no first lines? And have you tried replies versus sending somebody directly to a calendar?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So you talked about Line.ai and Quicklines. So Quicklines actually is founded by the guy we just talked about, Nick Abraham. That's his company. So he owns that as well. And so it is a line writing tool made by a cold email guy. So you know it's going to be kind of good, right? Because it's actually designed for that. I would say he is very good at what he does. He is one of the best guys in the space. And Quicklines is a phenomenal tool. My holdback is really financial modeling around personalization or first line writing. Most people, if they're trying to do a little bit of volume, can afford to do first lines. With the volume that we send today, it doesn't matter what tool you use, unless we build the whole tool ourselves in-house, we would never be able to afford the cost of a first line writing tool. So unfortunately, we don't have it in the budget to run that for most of our clients just based on how we get paid. But it is something that we're working on and eventually may build something ourselves just so that we don't have to have that massively incurred cost. So it is a great solution. Definitely helps. You got to ask yourself, hey, if I spend the extra money on the first lines, do I send less emails to get the same response? And I think for some people, yes, some people no. And then you just got to balance the cost and maybe how many other emails you have to grab. So does it work? Yes. Does it get better results? Yes. Is it potentially more expensive when you break it out cost per email? Yes. But
and a time
point,
bottleneck.
Fulfillment. Fulfillment bottleneck. 100%. It's another variable. It's another thing that could go wrong. It's another thing to be mapped. But you brought up another split test, going to a Calendly link or a booking link. So we, 2 years ago, used to do that where we'd send them right to a booking link. One of the things that I've been pushing very hard for is today, especially with the Google update that rolled out on May 30th, Google is very much interested not so much in opens, but more so in replies today. The reason that is because when the iOS 14 update happened, a lot of people knew that, hey, Facebook ads are hard to track now with this new update. What was not talked about was when you open an email on your iPhone and you've opted out of iOS 14 tracking, that you won't know that your prospect has opened that email because the iPhone won't send it. So if you're using your email and you're looking at your open rates and saying, hey, I'm expecting 30% or more open rates and you're only getting 10%, that actually doesn't mean anything. You might be delivering to tons of people and they might all be opening your email on their phone. And so using open rate as a measure of success is something that I find is very dangerous at scale, because people might be opening and it might look like crap. Your stats might look bad, but you might be getting a good result. So I don't look at open rate too much, but what I do measure is reply rate, total reply rate, and what we call positive reply rate, somebody who's interested in what you have. We are looking for a total reply rate of 1 in 100. So I guess that'd be 1%. And we are looking for a positive reply rate in 1 in 500 emails or better. Now, at the scale we're sending, those are the kind of numbers we're looking for. I'm sure there's somebody who can beat that, 1 in 400, 1 in 350, 1 in 300, something like that. But instead of talking in terms of percentages, like 0.02 or whatever it would be, 0.2%, we just talk about it in one positive reply in 500 emails. That's what we're looking for. To us, that's profitable, scalable, and easy to measure at 1 in 500.
Okay, beautiful. And with link tracking, that can get tricky as well. So definitely some options for testing. Always be testing. Don't get stuck to one thing. I've seen a lot of people do different stuff. So don't just listen to us and feel like you need to be stuck in that box. Yeah. But I agree with you, keeping it short, simple, with one quick call to action. You know, that's the goal. One other thing I want to ask you regarding that first email, do you ever offer or incentivize anybody to get on a meeting with you? For example, I've seen free lunch. I've seen donating to charity. We've actually tried some of it. Have you done any of that? And has it been successful?
So we have not done that internally for ourselves, but we have definitely done it for clients. We have a rather large appointment booking agency. They do done-for-you conversion. So they'll take someone's leads that come in from Facebook and they'll convert them into appointments. Their offer that they do to these lead generation companies is, hey, I'll give you a $25 Amazon gift card if you take a call with me. So it's just a straight up gift, right? Like not even like I'll take you to lunch, right? It's just like I will pay you to take a call with me. And so they just roll that into their price and they understand that that's part of their acquisition. And a large portion of people take the call and they don't even ask for the Amazon gift card. So it's kind of like a cost that they don't even have to give up. They honestly will they will offer that, right, to whoever wants it. But a lot of people were just thought it was funny and took the call because of that. So I think if it's the right intention and they still are actually in your target market, it makes sense to do that. The one thing I would caution about is just, you know, just giving away free stuff sometimes attracts the wrong kind of people. So you got to be cautious of giving away too much, because then you might not get the right customer.
Right. And knowing who you're emailing, if you're using an Instagram list and you're hitting a bunch of influencers, they're going to take that $25 gift card and probably not sign up. Whereas when we're prospecting, you know, mid-sized businesses, CEOs, and we're offering them a free lunch, we're going to get a different result. So definitely something to keep in mind there as well.
For sure.
We got the first email out of the way. I think that was a really great conversation. And the first email is honestly the hardest. You know, that's probably the most important one. How many emails do you do before you give up on a client or give up on a lead?
So we have two types of sequences. We have the sequences before they our positive reply, and then we have after that, right? So we typically send two emails. We send the opener email, and then we send one bump email. We've tested this a bunch. We're still actually testing every single day right now, and we look at analytics on this. But what we have found is that for the volume, if we go to a third email, so like we send the core email, we send one bump or follow-up email, and then we send another bump follow-up email, I really don't see a huge lift from that third email. So our logic is we would much rather go after more net new people and only send them two emails. Then if we have, you know, if we have 600 people I want to send, or 600 emails, I'd rather send, you know, to 300 people twice than, you know, 200 people three times, because we get a little bit more reach there. So we like two emails right now. If that changes, you know, I'm sure we'll update the community at some point, but two seems to work. And our follow-up email is literally just like floating this to the top of your inbox. Just wanted to bump the previous email. Did you get my email? And the key is you got to thread your subject lines if you want them to be grouped together. So if your first subject line is, hey, first name, or your subject line is question about company name, you want to make sure your follow-up email has the exact same subject line so that it can thread those together, which will allow you to get the best results. So that's what we're finding today, two emails, really clean data, and that's basically all we do. Now, when they're a positive reply, they say, yes, I'm interested, we follow up with people six times, either they book or six follow-ups, and then they fall off and we don't do anything after. That's our maximum number of follow-ups we do from someone who said yes, but did not book a call.
Okay. And we do about five. But honestly, your way lets you email more people. Our way, you know, for every follow-up that we do, that's one less email that we're sending to somebody new. So for example, if you're doing the first lines, maybe you and kind of invest that time and email them a little bit more versus your method. And there, again, there's no right way.
As long as whatever works, right?
As long as those open rates are high, you're on the right track. So just got a few more minutes left here. Connor, I'd love to talk to you about people who are interested, business owners who want to implement cold email into their companies, maybe don't want to take on the undertaking of figuring it all out themselves. What does it look like to work with a lead agency like yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different agency styles out there, right? You're going to have the pay-per-lead agencies, you're going to have the implementation agencies, and you're going to have retainer agencies, right? So a retainer agency is going to charge a monthly flat fee to do X number of emails. A pay-per-lead agency is someone who's going to be paid for every person who says yes or per positive lead. We actually happen to own payperpositivereply.com. That offer disclosure is closed right now, but we do own the domain payperpositivereply.com, and that is we have a $1,000 setup fee and we charge $100 per positive reply. That's in the B2B space, people like that because there's risk model. I don't think there's too many other people charging like that, but I think that's a great way to run a business. So there's a retainer, there's that per-lead model, and then there's like the implementation model, which is something we spend a lot of time on right now, which is, hey, you're a busy business owner. You probably have no idea how to set this up and you don't want to learn the 90% of the technical stuff. So just pay us $5,000. We'll come in. We'll crush out this build for you. We'll get the domains, inboxes, Zohos, all that stuff. And then you can run it on your own going forward. I think some people like that kind of model, regardless of which agency you use. There's like maybe 10 people on planet Earth or 10 companies that truly do cold email. And you're talking to one of them right now. So it's like, there's only so many people who do that service. So it's kind of a limited bag of people to go after. But I will tell you this, good offers are the number one thing in the recipe to get results. So whether you get a build, pay for retainer, pay per reply, pay per lead, like it doesn't matter how you get compensated the person you're working with. It's all about, can your offer perform? Can you actually get real interest for your service? And if the answer is yes, all the models work.
100%. And that's where working with an expert definitely helps. I'd say my first year doing cold email was just emailing a ghost because there's a lot of stuff you have to dial in. And working with somebody like yourself is going to expedite that process a whole lot and make your life a whole lot easier. So Dr. Connor Robertson, where can people go to learn more about you, to work with you? Where can they go to get in touch?
Yeah. So a couple of things, if you want to just learn free stuff, we got a great Facebook group that I'm sure you'll interview in at some point. It's called Organic Outbound Secrets. So that's facebook.com/groups/organicoutboundsecrets. That's a community. It's all about organic marketing, LinkedIn, email, tons of free stuff. I put out a video every day. I show you how to do everything you could possibly need to do. And then if you really want to pay us to do something, you certainly can do that. So that group is totally free. That is a great spot to be. If you want to check out the YouTube channel, syntax.com, you can check that out. And then I think the last thing is, if you want to understand how these email builds work, because you want to have the most cost-effective way to grow, thecoldemailbuild.com, we own that. So check that out. A little quick VSL explains how we do what we do. But everybody knows the price. So it's one of those things, like I try to be very transparent on how we work with people. But those are the best ways. Facebook group, check out the YouTube channel at some point. And then if you want to book a call, thecoldemailbuild.com.
Oh, Dr. Connor, it was awesome having you on the show. Cold email is a passion of mine. So this is a blast. I definitely learned a lot. I can tell you're a real expert. So I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. Hope to come do it on your show sometime as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.